Hey folks, it's Coffee Break Radio. Hey folks, it's Coffee Break Radio. We're on the air today and I am so excited about who we're speaking with. I just can't wait for you all to hear this because this information is really important and honestly will change people's lives for the better. But before we do that, I want to give you a little bit of fast food. The first bite is Proverbs 17:9-11. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? That when you forgive, you increase the love between you and that person. And secondly, Matthew 6:14-15. If you forgive others, the Lord will forgive you. If you do not, then the Lord will not forgive you. And that's from The Message. Kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Anyway, I'm so excited to have today Linda Mullen. Linda's with us from San Diego, and she's going to be talking about a very interesting ministry that she has started, and it's in has to do with forgiveness, and it's in a wonderful little book called Unglued. How are you today, Linda?
I am doing so well, and I'm so happy to be doing this today. It has been something, forgiving has been something that has set me free, has given me a new outlook on what it is and what it's not, and has given me even insight into the Lord and my relationship to Him.
Well, how did you ever get into this? I mean, you know, we all go through periods of time when we think we need to forgive somebody or a situation or ourselves or even sometimes God. But what got you to the point where you decided, I've got to really organize this and make it a more, make it into a book? How did you do that?
Well, it actually started with me feeling resentment that I had to forgive. I felt like it wasn't fair. Mm-hmm. I felt like if you hurt me, you got to walk away free.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the one that left with all the responsibility. And I would say to God, how come I always have to be the grown-up?
Yeah.
How come I always have to be the one that forgives? That person doesn't have to do anything. They don't have any payment. They have no repercussions. And it's all on me, and I'm the one that's hurt.
Yeah, I'm
and
the one that's
walking
around with a big bag of you-know-what, and they're skipping off having a good time.
Exactly, and that's what it really looks like, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to go to God and find out what my misconception about Him was. Because if He was saying, I have to forgive, you read a beautiful scripture. If we don't forgive, He doesn't forgive us. Well, if His commandment is to forgive, what do I understand about His character?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I realized that every command that He has in the Word for us to follow is always for our benefit. There's no command just for the sake of having a command. It's not arbitrary. It's always because He's trying to lead us into an abundant life. So that sent me on a search for, okay, I'm going to do this now, but how do I do it? People would preach from the pulpit, you must forgive, but no one would ever sit down with me and say, this is what forgiveness is, this is what it's not, and this is how you do it. And so over the years, just with different ministries that I went to for inner healing and several other things, I pieced together kind of my own little pattern of how to forgive. And realized that I wasn't the only one that didn't understand how to do it. So I took my thoughts and I put them together in this little book.
You know what I love about the book is it's short. It's not a big, long, going on forever kind of book. Easy to read. And it looks doable. It's like, I remember somebody handed me a book on forgiveness years ago. And it was a really thick book. And the first half was about all this stuff I really didn't want. I just wanted to know how to do it. and get it done. And that's what I love about your book, is that it's short, it's sweet, and it's very doable. The thing that I also love about it is that you dedicated it to your mom because she knows how to forgive. Isn't that a wonderful testimony to her?
It really is. And when I was a child, when I was growing up, my father was an alcoholic. And my mother taught us from a very early age, she would say, "Your father is a wonderful man. This alcohol is horrible, but your father is a wonderful man." And when he stopped drinking, my family came together because my mother had taught us how to forgive him.
Praise God for that. The, the section that I loved in this book was helping others to forgive you.
Yeah.
That was, I really like that because the other books I've read on forgiveness don't really go there at all.
One of the things that I've learned is that if you have hurt or harmed somebody, most of the time you know that you've done it. Sometimes you don't, but a lot of times you do.
Mm-hmm.
And to go to someone and say, for instance, "Sheila, if I've hurt you," it puts the burden on you to have to verbalize what I've done to hurt you. And that's unfair to you. And I have learned that when I can go to someone and say, "You know, the other day when we had that conversation, I know what I said really hurt you, and I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me? I did not mean for that to happen." I've now taken the burden off of you.
Yeah, it's keeping the responsibility where it needs to be.
And it also helps people to get over their hurt feelings. It brings restoration. It really does a lot when you can help someone forgive you.
Yeah. The other thing I thought was really interesting was the difference between reconciliation and forgiveness.
That was a big deal for me. I had someone in my life that was hurting me over and over and over again. And I would go and forgive that person and put myself right back in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd get hurt again. And it was this never-ending cycle. And I was walking down the hall in church one day, once again trying to forgive this grace grower, as I would call her.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the Lord said to me, "You can forgive a dog for biting you, but that doesn't mean you put your hand back in his mouth." And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm positioning myself for this person to hurt me over and over and over again. And I had to, at that point, change that relationship. Now, that relationship today, believe it or not, is very healthy. But at that point, I knew that forgiving her didn't mean that I go back to the same relationship I had. Let's take it to something that's an extreme. Somebody is molesting you or harming you in a very bad way. When you forgive, that doesn't mean you put your hands back into the hand of the molester.
Right.
And so reconciliation is a separate issue. Forgiving requires only one person, and that's me. I can forgive. But reconciliation takes two people. If we think about Jesus who died for our sins so that we could be reconciled with the Father is always there willing to reconcile to us, but not everybody on earth accepts the gift of reconciliation to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so reconciliation is a totally separate issue that has to be dealt with after you've walked through forgiveness. Now, if it's your, you know, of course, you also have to teach people how to reconcile. So, for instance, you have children and you teach them how to forgive and then you teach them how to reconcile back into the family.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. But I think I said something in the book like reconciliation is such a large subject that it's
more,
not, this,
more
is, this
later.
Book is not. Yeah, more later.
Yeah, and more later.
Yeah.
That'll be another interview.
Yes, because
yeah.
reconciliation is a whole big process sometimes.
It sounds
it may take years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think about some of the situations in my own life, and I'm thinking, yeah, there would have to be a lot of steps gone through for that to be, for there to even be reconciliation. Now, you have 5 steps that you go through specifically for forgiveness. Can you kind of review those for us?
Yes. The book goes into detail on each one of the steps, but the first step is to verbalize, and you can do this with someone else, you can do it with the Lord, you can do it with yourself in the car, you know, with God, but you want to recount what really happened, and you need to be honest about that. Why am I really, you know, what am I forgiving? God is very clear about what he forgives, and so the first thing we want to know is, you know, what am I forgiving you for? What really happened here? The second thing is to ask myself, how did that make me feel? And that's a tough step for some people. They may say, well, it made me feel like I think you're not a good friend. Well, that's what you're thinking about it. But what did you really feel about it? Did you feel hurt? Did you feel betrayed? Did you feel unloved? What did you feel when that happened? The next step is to go to the Lord and ask him, what need in your life was not met when this hurt happened? And that this is the place where we connect with the Lord, because in forgiving, I believe we have to connect with the Lord and have him help us to release that debtor. And we're actually making an exchange with God. We're releasing the debtor into his hands, and we're receiving back from the Lord something that we were robbed of when that happened. Maybe it's security, acceptance, adequacy, whatever that is, we're going to make an exchange. If remember, you know that nature abhors a vacuum?
Right.
It's a principle.
Uh-huh.
That happens in our hearts too. If we're releasing something, if we're releasing a hurt from our heart, we need to receive back from the Lord something from him that will fill that hole.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing is, after you have released and gone through the prayers that I have in the book, we want to create a memorial to mark the event. And the reason for the memorial is for 2 things. It's to remind us, yes, I did this. I did it on a certain date. My girlfriend had a stamp made that says debt canceled. And she'll write things out on a piece of paper and then she'll stamp it. And if she goes back and feels like, well, I didn't really do it correctly, or I didn't do it right, or the accuser says, well, you never really forgave, she can
right.
pull out that paper and say, there it is, debt's canceled.
I love that. I love that.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And then the last step is, I call it reset your imagination. I bet everybody who's listening today can remember that when someone has hurt them, they revisit the incident over and over again,
mm-hmm.
trying to play out what they would have said if they could, if I could have thought about what to say, I would have said this. Or
mm-hmm.
you replay it, hoping to change the ending of it. Well, that's all happening in our imagination. And we need to replace all of those thoughts with some new thoughts. And I ask the Lord, what can you give me in my imagination to think on this instead? And when I began to role play in my imagination the next thing God has for me, or maybe the next book I'm going to write on, or whatever, when those thoughts start to come back from that person, I revisit my memorial, and then I said, you know, I'm replacing those thoughts with this. It may take some time in the beginning, like you have to practice at it, but then pretty soon you will automatically just reset your imagination to some new thoughts. And there's a big key to that, because as we reset our thoughts, we connect with our heart, and then out of our heart, our mouth speaks.
So it really changes. It changes you and your perspective on the inside.
Very much. Very much. Can I just tell you a little story about forgiveness?
Oh, absolutely.
I was in a meeting at a ladies' retreat. I was the guest speaker. I have been there a few times over the years, and there's been a girl, I'll call her Sally. That's not her name. But I noticed that Sally was a very sad little face. And she was a mom, but she seemed a lot younger than she is. She has one of those young faces.
Mm-hmm.
And after the I spoke on forgiveness this last year, and afterwards she came up to me and said, can you spend some time with me? And I said, sure, let's go out for a walk. And we didn't get about 10 feet, then she just really broke down. And Sally told me that years earlier she had committed a sin that she could never forgive herself of. That it had robbed her of her husband, her family, her children were sad, her husband was sad. She had gone to her pastor. He had assured her that God forgave her. She was walking with the Lord, but she was seriously one of the saddest little faces I could see. And we took these steps and walked her through forgiving herself. And I watched this young woman, this young mother, I literally burst into laughter. And she giggled. The two of us giggled for the rest of the afternoon.
Praise God.
And I said, let's go to the gift shop and buy you a memorial. Let's buy you a present. And we shopped. I'm telling you, this little gift shop had the craziest stuff. You know, it had pencils that were made out of bark. You know, you can picture the gift shop. And she finally picked out something to take home. And when she asked me about how she would reset her imagination, I said, why don't you start dreaming about all the fun things you can do with your kids now? And she said, I'm going to go get my daughter right now. And I'm telling you, this woman was set free in one afternoon from years of sadness.
Oh, my God.
And when I pulled away from that place that day, she was on the lawn with her daughter and another lady, and they were all giggling in the rocking chairs.
What a gift.
Oh, my gosh. I said, Lord, what a privilege I have to be able to do this.
You know, the thing that a lot of people forget is that often we have to forgive ourselves, and sometimes we even need to forgive God.
Yes, very much. Very much. And that's sometimes hard for us to admit. And I've had people say, I can never forgive myself. I deserve to be punished for what I did. And isn't that what the Punisher wants from us?
Absolutely. The enemy wants us to be in torment.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the phrases in your book that I absolutely love was cut the tie to the lie.
Cut the cord.
Yep, cut the tie to the lie, because the unforgiveness, the hurt, whatever it is usually tied to a big lie that we're believing.
It now, is so true.
Yeah, is that something that you do toward the end of the process, or when is that, and how does that kind of flesh out?
That is somewhere in the middle. It's after you have released the debtor.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with that, and I think I talk about this in the book, is that I was stuck. I knew how to forgive, and I was stuck. And I couldn't seem to walk through the forgiveness process. Every time I tried to release the debtor, it wasn't happening. And I realized that when this situation happened, I had actually believed what the person said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I believe that and really believe it in your heart, there's no releasing it. Unless you would recognize, wait a minute, that doesn't line up with the Word of God, and it doesn't line up with his character.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't line up with his word and it doesn't line up with his character, what in the heck am I carrying it for? And so I learned how to literally say, in the name of Jesus, I strip this lie off of my soul. And we can do that. And let me tell you, when we're doing that, the Holy Spirit is right there with the word, the sword, you know, saying, oh, yeah, this has got to go. And I cut that cord, and then I take back any part of myself that I gave to that person when I believed them. I gave something of myself. I gave some, their power over me was able to be there because I gave something of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I take that back, and then I send back to them any part of themselves that I kept, which was their opinion of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Once I cut that cord, boy, I was able to release that person just like that.
So it's the person treats you badly, your feelings are hurt, you are seeking love, attention, affirmation, whatever it is from that person, they're not giving it to you. So you have to go to the Lord to get that. And then the lie you're believing is that you're not lovable or you're not deserving or whatever the lie is. It's different for each person in each situation. And that's, so it's almost like there are two parts to it.
There are, and I have discovered that I sometimes don't recognize the lie myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go to the Lord and say, what am I believing here? Because we tend to want to guard any place in our heart that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to touch that. It's like a little kid with a Band-Aid. I'm going to take your Band-Aid off. No! You know. And so I have to go to the Lord and ask him, what am I believing? And why am I believing it? And what is your truth about me? There's a ministry called Theophostic Prayer that I've been very involved with for several years. And the man who developed the ministry, his name is Ed Smith. And I went to a conference with him. And he said, if I was the devil, what I would do is introduce a lie that you believe, and then I would stand back and watch you self-destruct. That teaching was pivotal in this issue of forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is something about ourselves we are believing, or there's something about the person that hurt us that we're believing, or there's something about God that we're believing that doesn't line up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we drill down, I call it drilling down, which is what I do. I'm always drilling down, drilling down, drilling down. It will always come down to a lie about myself or a lie about my God. It's always going to come down to one of those two things.
And that's what has to be gotten to.
Yes.
And that's what has to be. That's really where that I believe that healing can happen as a result of this process, and not just emotional healing. I think physical healing can happen as a result of this process.
We are finding that. I'm part of the after service prayer ministry at my church, and we are discovering more and more that people's physical ailments are often connected to forgiving. And we've had people, there was a man that was in pain for something like 20 years. And when they walked him through forgiveness after church, he was released from pain completely.
Praise
in that
God.
Moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing that, and we're starting to ask people, is there anyone you have to forgive? And we're finding that most of the time there is someone. Now, there is a little funny story about my book. I sent my book out to, when it was published, I sent it out to some family and friends and got a really sweet phone call from someone in the family. Thank you so much for your book. And I've read it, and, you know, I don't have to forgive anyone. And I said, well, that's really cool. I'm really glad that you walk that forgiveness life, you know?
Yeah.
So the next day, seriously, the next day, I got a phone call from the same sweet person who said, did you, like, hang up the phone and laugh after our phone call? She said, I went to bed last night and woke up this morning, and the Lord began to show me all the people in my life that I haven't forgiven.
Praise
God. She said,
God.
I'm on a whole journey. So I kind of laughed, and I said, well, I'm glad I could be of assistance.
That's cute.
We giggled over that. But I'm telling you, the man, the UPS man who delivered the books, said, I had tons of, you know, packages, and he said, what's in here? And I said, there's books. And he said, what are the books about? And I said, the books are about forgiving. Oh, that's a big subject, he said. And I said, uh-huh. And he said, well, you know, it depends on what somebody does to you, whether or not you can forgive them.
Oh, yeah.
And I smiled and laughed, and I said, yeah, but you know what? Not really. And he looked at me, and I said, here, have a book. And he held the book in his hand, and he said, oh, my gosh, your name is on the book. I said, uh-huh. He said, you wrote what's in this book? I said, uh-huh. He said, I'm going to take it home and read it. This is the UPS man. I don't think there's anybody that this book does not touch.
Well, that's the other thing I love about this book, is it's basically, it's very lines up with Scripture. But it is something that a secular person could read and benefit from. So your audience should be just quite wide. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. It doesn't make any difference what faith they are, would be able to benefit from this.
Do I have time for one more quick story?
You do.
All right. I know someone who has told me, I am not religious at all. And I'm like, great. This book isn't religious. Here, have it. And I got a phone call, an email, and a return visit. And she said, my family has been in crisis for 2 years. My husband and son aren't speaking. When I brought this book home, my husband picked it up. He put it in his briefcase, and he has read it 6 times.
Oh, my gosh.
And she said, you need to know something. He's now speaking to our son. And she said, I think God sent you to us. This is a person who openly said, I am not religious.
Yeah, yeah. And look at what happened to that family. That family's being healed.
I know. And if you saw them, if you saw this family, you would think there was nothing wrong with this family. They're wonderful
people. Of course,
people.
Perfect on the outside. Perfect on
just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if people want to get this book, how do they do it?
The book is carried on Amazon in soft cover and in also an e-book for your Kindle. And the name of it is Unglued, A Tool to Help You Forgive and Be Free by Linda Mullen. You can also go to my website, which is www.lindamullen.com. You can purchase it through my website. It's pretty easy to find. And that's where you can do it.
Fabulous. Well, this has been a great treat. I love the book. I love talking to you. And I can't wait to have you back to discuss reconciliation when you've done that book. And I understand that you do art, so we'll have you back talking about art as a ministry, which I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Mm-hmm. I look
good
forward to that.
Yes, I look forward to it too. Good talking with you, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.